In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the last Sunday of Pascha, the sixth Sunday of Pascha. The leave-taking of the Feast of Pascha will come this Wednesday. And so the 40-day season of Pascha ends. And on this last Sunday of Pascha, we hear the story of the miracle of the healing of the man who was born blind. Jesus chose this time to perform this miracle right after he had had a big argument with the Pharisees in the temple area. It was the argument with the Pharisees that ended by them telling Jesus that he was a Samaritan filled with the devil. The Pharisees asking him, did he think that he was greater than their father Abraham, because they were children of Abraham? And Jesus' answer is incredible. Before Abraham was, I am. What God had said to Moses. Before Abraham was, I am. And then he did this miracle and proceeded to show that he was the one who had formed Adam and Eve out of the clay of the earth. He acted as God and revealed himself for anyone who had eyes to see. This whole healing, the story of this healing that Jesus did, is about being able to see and being blind. And there are two senses of being able to see and being blind here. The man who was born blind is blind in both ways. He can't see a thing. But the Pharisees are blind as well. There is a great deal that they don't see. And yet they claim to see. They claim to see and to be wise and to be able to tell this man Jesus how things are and condemn him for making claims that they just can't see. And so Jesus takes clay from the ground, moistens it by spitting into the clay, makes clay, puts it onto the eyes of the blind man, and sends him to the pool of Siloam to wash. Siloam, that means sent. He is sent by Jesus immediately to wash, and afterward he is able to see. And we can't help but think immediately of the formation of Adam and Eve in the garden, out of clay. According to the Blessed Theophylact, all of us are born just like the blind man. Blind when it comes to having no spiritual sight. If you were listening to the hours being read this morning, you heard those words about this reading about the blind man. Asking God that we might receive our spiritual sight, because we acknowledge as Christians that we are blind, that we live spiritually blind in the world. And unlike the Pharisees, we don't claim that we can see how things are and we can tell others how things ought to be done. Because we know that the things of the world are not the ultimate thing. That's how the Pharisees thought. We come into this world and we are mortal. We are going to die in the end, every one of us. Although it's unimaginable to us when we're young, life spreads out before us. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. It's not unusual today. Almost biblical ages can be achieved in our time, over 100 years. But eventually, all of us are born mortal. And Theophylact says that ever since we became mortal, there has been a thick cloud over our spiritual eyes. And with our mortality, the fathers tell us, comes pride, vainglory, and self-love. We're studying about these things on Wednesday evening. And when I went to prepare for this sermon and turned to Theophylact, there it was, the things that I've just said. And we know that we are blind. We know that we are blinded by pride and a love of being able to show off and make ourselves seem like we are more than we are, vainglory. And we know that we are filled with self-love. And we acknowledge that. And we watch ourselves carefully and closely, praying to God, because without prayer we're not going to be able to have this watchfulness. And during each day we begin by praying to God and asking Him to help us to be watchful and vigilant as we go through the day, to help us not be tripped up by the blindness that's caused by our pride and the other things that all mortal flesh is born heir to, simply because there is death in the world and we are born mortal. But there is an alternative. We don't have to be at the mercy of these, what D. Pannock calls, birth defects that all human beings are born with. The pride, the vainglory, and the self-love. We don't have to be at the mercy of those things. Because, like the blind men, we were sent to be washed in the pool of baptism. And we arose and we ought to be able to see. And if we repent of our confidence that we can already see just fine, and that the world is exactly as it seems to us, and we need not question our self-love or our vanity or our pride, and we need not question, pay attention to those things, because we can see things just the way they are, we have to repent of that over and over again and become humble enough to be watchful and watch out, not to be tripped up by those things. Theophylact says that when God makes each one of us, it's as though He makes mostly things the way they are supposed to be, but He leaves part unfinished. Like, for example, He says, as if a carpenter, a great carpenter, had built a wonderful and beautiful home, but He left it unfinished so that one day He might return and to show that He was the builder, He could finish it and prove that it was He who began the house. Now, at the time when these words were written, you couldn't go down to Lowe's and buy standard 2x4s and 4x6s and nails and all of the rest of the things that you buy to build a house, so it would be difficult or impossible in most cases, if it were, you're talking about competent carpenters, to tell the work of one carpenter from another. In those days, you could tell the work of one carpenter from another, because the carpenter made all of the building materials. And you could recognize the characteristic marks and techniques and ways of doing things that were unique to each craftsman. Even today, you know, archaeologists, when they go to Athens and they study the buildings on the Acropolis, the Parthenon, and all of those scattered pieces that are there from parts of the Parthenon coming down, they have gone around and they have cataloged every single mark that was used to make those stones, and they have names for the individual craftsmen based on the unmistakable quality of each one of those marks. And they have a list according to name. Who made this stone? Who made that stone? Because the workmanship is recognizable. And so that's what Theophylact is saying about the building of a house. When it comes to a human being, Here, something has been made that can only be finished by God. When Jesus Christ comes, he shows that he is the workman because he is the one who is able to finish his creation. He comes to this man who was born blind, and he reaches down and he takes clay from the earth that he created, and he molds it, and he puts it to where there is no eyes, and he creates eyes for this man. For years, when I read these passages, I would think, well, he took the clay, he moistened it, and he used it like a salve over his eyes to heal. But many of the ancient writers, their assumption is, he took the clay, he molded it. The man had no eyes, he could not see. And he gave him eyes, just the way God created Adam and Eve in the beginning. Jesus Christ, Christ God, only he can finish us. Only he can complete us. Only he can deal with the fact that we are born with these mortal defects of pride and vainglory and self-love. And you know, even when we study the spiritual guides, our temptation is to try to figure out what is the secret knowledge, the secret understanding that I might be able to find here so that I can heal myself? And the truth of the matter is, there is no such secret knowledge. What we bring to the table is the recognition that we need to be finished by God. What we bring is the humility to recognize and acknowledge our pride in each and one of those particular cases and instances when it shows itself. And we repent of those things. And we ask God to change us. And he is able to change us the way he gave this man eyes to see, so that we can have our spiritual sight. We have been through the Lenten and Paschal season for this year. At the end of the Divine Liturgy, we will say, Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen. For the last Sunday until next Pascha. Let us be illumined, as we say, by this feast of resurrection, when we recognize that we can only live our lives by letting God heal our blindness, the infirmities of our soul, that we are incomplete without the touch of his hand and without communion with him in prayer and communion with him at the chalice and the preparation to receive his body and blood into us, and a constant vigilance to reject the consequences of our brokenness, that we will live our lives stumbling through, blind, believing that we can see, like the Pharisees. At the end, there is this final exchange with the Pharisees, who unfortunately didn't get anything out of this healing. They are still at odds with Jesus Christ, just as they were in the temple. And Jesus tells them, I came into the world so that those who see might become blind, and so that those who are blind would be able to see. Two kinds of blindness, two kinds of being able to see, physical sight and spiritual sight. He came to restore our spiritual vision, the eyes of our soul. And then the Pharisees, they have a kind of Clint Eastwood moment. You're talking to me? Are we blind? There are two interpretations about this, incidentally. One of the interpretations is that they're afraid that he is going to strike them blind right there on the spot. The other interpretation is the obvious. Are you saying that we are blind? Are you saying that we can't see? And Jesus' response to them is that if you were blind, you would have no fault. But since you claim that you can see and that you are wise, then your sin is left unforgiven. Better to acknowledge our blindness. If we don't, then we can't be healed. If we claim that we already see and we have the nerve to stand before God and say, things are as I see them, give me what I want. I don't admit that I am blind to the world that you have created. I plan, like the Pharisees, to live my life on my own terms, and so give me the things that I need in order to be able to do that. There is no repentance there. There is no possibility of new life. And Jesus has these harsh words for those Pharisees. It would be better for you if you were blind because you claim that you can see. And because of that, the things that you do with your own intention. You do them intentionally, claiming that you have knowledge and wisdom and sight of your own. And that leaves you in a condition where you are unrepentant, and because you are unrepentant, you can't be forgiven. And so let us acknowledge before God our spiritual blindness and the need that we have for the healing of our spiritual eyes so that we can see ourselves and others and the world and even God himself as they truly are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.